some things in that way.
Okay.
Have a wonderful morning. See you at lunch. Bye-bye. Oh. Wait. Eat this morning? Chili? Oh. Or taking care of life here. Dogs. I don't know if they're happy dogs or they're angry dogs. You really can't tell the difference. The nice thing is, although it's 18, there's really not much of a wind at all, so it's not bad. I think we're doing okay at the moment. As long as we see the average amount of money in our account rising, that means we're okay. I need to save up enough to I got an emergency fund up. Well, about, I think Lisa said about $12,000. And then we, we start slapping hard on our house payment. We're gonna change over to keeping my ears warm. Silly out here. Because now that I'm away from trees and such, it's you can feel the wind. Let's see. Is money? Oh yeah, we talked about money because we've been looking at the finances. Every month we do a big check, so it's the 1st of February here. Actually, it's February 2nd. It's my co-worker Joseph Barris's last day of work. I replace him, and that's kind of a scary prospect because he is just this amazing font of knowledge. He put most of this stuff together. It's currently being used. So we're caught here in the situation of make these things happen. I'm learning an awful lot. Kind of in the middle of a huge upgrade to the application, that the database application that the university uses. So I think the plan was it was going to be done and running before Joseph left, and that's not going to happen. So we're gonna we'll just see what happens. Pardon me. It's I was awakening this morning. In the past, I would occasionally take some time to say how foolish I think pursuing a gay lifestyle or things like that were. I'll be honest and say that the motivation for the writing I'm doing right now is predominantly has to do with was originally spurred by originally spurred by some earlier writings I've been doing about rat holes. And I find myself more and more, and it's interesting, instead of making gay lifestyles the centerpiece of writing, which would probably be very, very provocative and would make the writing much more saleable. The real question of when it came down to it was that we have to live more purposefully than people did in the past. In the past, if you wanted to live and survive and have any kind of success at all, you had to follow a basic formula of life, which had to do with industry and obedience to divine and cultural laws, practically. If you didn't follow these, you would never succeed. You would fail. You would fail miserably. You know, now that this is not true, we've got ourselves into a bit of a socialistic pickle. I think we got ample evidence that a kind of enforced slam down from above socialism was what communism was. Didn't work. And my assertion is that socialism robs the pent-up social capital. And social capital is beyond just finance. It's almost everything surrounding just life and how it's conducted. The Soviet Union lasted for about 70 years before it essentially just fell apart. Other manifestations of it started later, and they have not fallen apart yet, but they have seen what happened to the kind of Marxist communism model, and the fact that, you know, it steals all of the pent-up social capital, the wealth of a nation, and it redistributes it. Now, those who are in charge of making sure the redistribution happens end up being kind of the new overlords of things. What has eliminated socialism is any authentic independence. You know. Anyway, these things fall apart, and it's usually, it might coincide very beautifully with when finally the stored up social capital is finally used up. You know, it's all about when everything begins, it's all about the screaming masses who have been indoctrinated into the fact that the rich and the powerful are hoarding all the social capital to themselves. But the rich and the powerful at least have the, you know, somehow got rich and powerful. That means they know something about something, where socialism does not. There is no, you know, there is no better management in socialism. It's just, you know, fussing around. When you look at, like, the American government, it's grown to be very, very socialistic. It's mismanaged diligently. A certain sort of cream rises to the top, but it's not typically a function of real aptitude or actual competence in managing, running, supervising, being an executive. It has far more to do with having found tricks to outdo your competitors. In socialism, competition's pathetic, and therefore it just, there's just not much to say about you except that you're experienced as a bureaucrat. Our last election here in 2016, Hillary Clinton felt very confident because of her deep efforts over the last, 16, 20 years, really active, pursuit of socialistic political ascendance. And she really did. She figured that she was due this for all of her efforts. And the Democratic Party fell right into line. The Republican Party was ready to fall into line. But then this Trump character came up. Trump is a... Every tactic of early 20th century communist takeover, every rhetorical device was used to try to raise up the proletariat, the American people, against the czar, who they perceived as Donald Trump, and they were trying to cast Donald Trump as. It didn't work. And apparently, at least enough of the electorate was not taken in by the rhetoric. I was far more interested in crushing the bureaucracy, taking out the socialists. Now you have to give the business leader a reason to want to do this. Most of them say, I don't care, I don't want the pay cut, honestly. Who wants to run the country? Who wants to fight with those people? Donald Trump's an interesting figure. He wanted to. I think he saw it as a fresh challenge. And he's only been in office for what? Maybe a couple of weeks? Not even that, probably. Just barely 2 weeks now. And he has been diligently keeping promises. Anyway, so it's been interesting to watch, to see something different happen. Social capital. Yeah.